Lord, we thank you so much for this time. And Father, we thank you so much that you are here in the midst of us, Father, and that there is freedom in this place, Lord, to experience your supernatural power in our lives, God. We just need an open heart to receive it, God. Our hearts and our minds are like, Lord, I just want to experience more of you. I want to see more of you in my life. I want to feel more of you in my body. I want to see more of you in my circumstances. And God saying, I'm here. Just open yourself up to who I am. Open my womb, God, to hear from you. Open up my heart and my mind and my senses, Lord, to feel, taste, and see that you are good, God, in the land of the living. Father, your word is truth. Your word is the sword, God, of the Spirit, Lord, and we use it in our lives. We declare it forth and we use it, God. Man, a sword is a powerful thing in a battle, but if we don't pick it up and use it, how can it benefit us? Father, how good you are. That word is not enough to mention how awesome and how splendid and how beautiful and how amazing you are in our lives, Lord. Father, this is your stage. Holy Spirit, you have free will to move and speak this morning. Minister to us individually in our hearts, in our lives, Lord, that we may hear the word for this season in this time, Father, in our lives. Lord, you're all about meeting us individually because you love us individually. You're after our individual heart, God. You are in love with who we are and we love you. Father, thank you for who you are. Thank you, Father, for this word is yours, Father. Speak it. Speak it, Father. Speak it out. Minister it, God. Your words be said, not mine. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for the ministry that's already even happened in this place this morning. Thank you for the hearts that have already been touched, for the lives that have already been open to who you are, Father. Protection around us, Lord Jesus. In your mighty name we pray. Amen. Amen. And amen. Thank you, Jesus. He is good. Ladies, he is good. And his mercies are new every single morning in our lives, and we are so thankful for that. Isn't this kind of exciting that the second to last Bible study, we discovered the stage lights? Guys, I needed glasses because like I can see my notes and everything. This is very exciting. So I didn't know we had these. I thought they were maybe just decoration. I don't know. But this is very exciting to have the lights. Can you see me better? Yeah. Yes. Okay. Not like you're that far away from me. But you know, sometimes the lighting does help. Do we need more lights in the house? Because I know some of y'all like to.
Table ladies.
Okay. Table ladies. Your mission, if you choose to accept it. Pop the switch. Okay, maybe you're turning on the porch lights.
Carol knows how to do it.
Okay. Oh, Carol said she knows. Oh. Okay. Yeah. One more. Oh, there we go. Yes. There we go. Amen. Love it. Okay, I don't know, did all of y'all get my email that I sent out this week? If you didn't, that means your email is not on my list and you need to put it down back there. We are going to go ahead and end Bible study as planned on the 11th. I just felt like that was the right thing to do. We're just going to go ahead to end series then. I feel like what God has ministered so far and this one and next week are going to be what he wants to speak to y'all ladies regarding the study. And I'm completely humbled and just thankful that he is doing that. Next week is our last week. So if you are like, man, I want to invite my friend, but it's almost over. It's okay. She can come next week. She can come next week, because next week we're going to talk about the process of purity as we lay this foundation for desire. How do we walk this thing called purity out in our lives? And what is it all about, the process of purity? And I'm really excited about that study. It's beautiful. Of course, it all reflects back to Jesus and who he is in our lives and just the beauty of the cross. But we also have a guest coming next week. Who was here when Michelle used to lead worship? Oh, good. Four of y'all. Oh, five. Oh, yeah, and you? Yeah, you came too. Oh, and y'all ladies back there. Okay, so Michelle is my childhood friend who God has given an amazing gift and an anointing to lead worship. She leads worship at a big church in San Antonio, and she just recently released a CD album, which is amazing. I have listened to it so much. The songs are beautiful and very ministering. And she just had a baby about 7 months ago. And so I freed her from the chain. No, I released her to go and be the mama that she needs to be and not worry about coming here on Wednesday mornings for worship. But she is coming next week to lead us in worship. And I am so excited. So if you've never heard her, please come. You're going to be so ministered to her by her. She's actually going to bring some of her CDs. If you would like to purchase them, they will be available in the back. So we have studied so far about the word. Oh, ladies, you're so great. Desired. We have talked about the foundation of desired, what it's all about, according to Genesis 3:16, that the curse that woman was given, that she would have desire for her husband and it would rule over her. And we're trying to figure out how to walk this thing out because of what Jesus came to do in our lives to redeem that curse. Amen? But we've got to choose to accept the cross, because Jesus doesn't iron the cross on us every morning and say, you got to have flattened this thing out on you. He doesn't do that. We choose to accept the benefits of the cross every day in our choices and our actions and our heart's desires. So we've talked about that. We've talked about the undesired woman, Leah, and what God did for her. We talked about obsessed desire, Potiphar's wife. That was kind of fun, wasn't it? Then we went on to last week was the desired woman. Amen. We talked about Rachel in the Bible and what happens when we are that woman in the world that is physically desired and we don't birth spiritually. We are emotionally
dead, empty.
Oh, yeah, good. You know it. Good. So someone said dead, and that's exactly true. When we don't birth spiritually, like Rachel, she said that she was miserable to the point of death. The most desired woman in the Bible. I mean, just so desired by life and by man, and miserable. Today, we're moving on to a little bit of a tender area that is been very much a challenge in my own life. That's why I think that God has me get up here and speak on it. The desire among women. All right, ladies, we're going to go deep this morning. This is a challenging spot in ladies' lives. It's kind of a hidden area, kind of like obsessed desire. It's just kind of that hidden place that we like to kind of just close off and you know, put a door around it and just be like, this is my little safe place. You know, I don't really like to discuss this with other people or let it be known. Maybe you discuss it with a close friend. Maybe you speak it to your spouse, whatever it is. It's kind of like it's a closed off place, like our obsessed desire. We try to hide this place. But this is very much an issue in our society today. Women desire other women, not sexually, but socially. They do desire social acceptance from other women. And this is an issue. We don't realize it until it kind of comes out in its ugly, nasty way. That's why a lot of women do not come to Bible study. They do not go to women's gatherings. And they do not sign up for typically a woman's big retreat to spend the weekend with a bunch of ladies. Come on, ladies. Come on. You know that is the toughest thing to do. Why? Why? Why is it so hard for us to get together? We share so much in common. We can strengthen each other and help each other. We can do so much to empower each other, to encourage one another, to lay hands on one another, to pray for one another. We've got so much in us to share with one another, but yet we close ourselves off from it. Why? What is that thing there between what I just talked about and what we actually do in our lives? There is something there, and I feel the anointing of the Holy Spirit here this morning to speak on this. There is something about the fear of being socially rejected and not accepted by women. This is where it comes in, and this is where it steals what God may be having for us in our lives. I interviewed a woman at the beginning of Bible study, before this whole series started, a woman who has expressed to me before that she very much struggles with this whole thing right here, the gathering of women. And so I interviewed her, and God's done a lot of healing in her life regarding this. But I interviewed her and asked her, you know, can you please tell me some of the reasons why you don't like this? Just give me some reasons. And she says, well, first of all, I have past hurts from women hurting me. Number one, I don't trust them. I don't trust women because I feel like as soon as I express myself, I turn around and I got this in my back. So I don't trust women. Secondly, she says, I'm a natural introvert. I don't typically like to be in big room settings like this. I'm kind of to myself. I enjoy myself. I enjoy being who I am and by myself, and I don't need this corporate thing to esteem me or to learn. She says, I don't like small talk. She goes, I hate women small talk. Oh my gosh, girl, love your necklace. Did you get your toes done? Blah, blah, blah. You know, our small talk, you know. I kind of like small talk. I mean, I don't know. I mean, we're all created in the image of God, so we're all unique and different. But I like that. But there are a lot of women that do not like that. Don't ask me about my shoes. Don't tell me you like something about me. I don't want to talk to you. Bottom line. So this is truth. And when I began to hear from her, I began to get it. Women are harder than men. Come on. Women are harder than men. Why? Why is this an issue? We do so much for social acceptance naturally, not even trying. Naturally, we do so much for social acceptance more than what we actually think. More than actually socially accepted by women is something that we like. We do certain things. We wear certain things. We say certain things, not because of man, but because of women. Okay, so come on, just go with me this morning. Okay, let's say I had two designer black bags up here, okay? Two designer black bags. If you were to go to a man and say, honey, what kind of purse is this and what kind of purse is this? What would he tell you? Thank you. They're both black, right? But so men could care less about your Louis Vuitton, right? Or your Coach or your whatever. But if you held this up for two women, they would say, oh girl, that is a Michael Kors. And that one is, I don't know, Coach, whatever, I don't know. Is that a designer bags? Was that good? Okay, good. I know a little bit something. So we buy things and do things not for man's approval, but for whose? Women's approval and acceptance of who we are. So if you're in a place where you're not able to be that woman, you tend to shy away because maybe, perhaps, they won't accept me for who I really am and not what I have or wear or what I do. Come on, is that just a thought perhaps that maybe goes through your head this morning? So saying all this, we do a lot more for women than we think. Come on, ladies, I'm getting y'all to think this morning. This is an issue. Desire among women, socially accepted. Oh, this is a big one for us young girls too, ladies. Big one for us young ladies. And you know what? If we don't deal with these issues when we're young, we grow up and become adults, and we're still little girls. Still dealing with the little girl. Still dealing with feeling left out of the group. Still feeling with mama didn't get me those shoes that I knew I needed to fit into that group. Still there in your mind. Still there. But Jesus offers always a solution of healing for us, ladies. It's amazing. I hope with the help of the Holy Spirit this morning that we can shed light on this issue. If this is an issue for what for you this morning, please listen up, because God's got freedom for you. Amen? He's got freedom and healing for you in this place. This has been an issue with me my whole life, and I've never understood it. I've understood it according to what the world told me was wrong with me. Well, girl, you're just not, you don't got this and this and this, and that's your issue. Okay, so if I get that, then my life will be okay. But yet I would do that, and I would still in my mind and in my heart be in the same place with all this. There's a deeper issue here this morning. Because of this mindset, we allow others to control our spiritual future. And when I say others, I mean our response to others affect what God wants to do for me, say to me, or teach me. If you are worried about your image and the acceptance of women in these kind of settings, what are you missing out on that God could be doing in your life, speaking to you and saying to you? Come on, ladies. It's so easy to say, I'm good, don't need that. I'm good. Me and God's relationship is great. We do so much on our own. We're awesome. I got my Bible study all on the floor. I read the word, I pray, I got worship music on. I'm good. Come on, you know you've been there before. I'm good. But the first thing we know about man that God tells us in Genesis is that it is not good for man to be alone. The first thing we know about man in the Bible is that it says it is not good for man to be alone. So there's something about corporately coming together and encouraging and empowering one another for God's kingdom that is good and good in the eyes of God. Amen? There's something good about this place. So stepping out of the comfort of I'm good could lead to stepping into what is better. The title of today's message is What is Better? And it comes from the scripture in Luke. We will be getting to Luke. If you have a Bible, you need a Bible. If you don't have a Bible, please grab one from the back. There's three back there. In this Bible study, we study the Bible. We love it. And we're going to be in the New Testament. I know, can you believe I didn't say Genesis? God's moving us to the New Testament today. We're going to be in Luke. And I'll tell you in just a minute where we're going. But I want to just talk just specifically about the process. You know I speak a lot about the process. If you've been to my Bible study, you know I speak a lot about the process of growth, spiritual growth, physical growth, that God's all about the timing and seasons of our life. And when we think about the process of a flower blooming, we see the blooming flower one day, but the flower didn't just bloom one day. There was a process that happened weeks and months before the flower bloomed, but it was happening under the ground in the quiet, dark place of our lives. And that is where process happens, ladies. It doesn't happen on stage on Wednesday morning. The process happens in the dark places, the unseen places in our life, the places that aren't really necessarily pretty to look at, the places that aren't showing beautiful pink floral colors. That's where the beauty is matured and met and grown. And then one day, there's the flower. It's there. And everyone enjoys the beauty of what happened in the dark, underground, secret places of our life. There is a process of healing and understanding so I can walk through this thing with women. So let's go to the scripture this morning. Turn to Luke chapter 10, verses 38 through 41. We don't have long verses this morning, but they are powerful. Luke 10, 38. When you're there, say amen. Amen. Oh, you sound like y'all are all there, so I'll just go on. Here we go. We're going to read right at the top. 38. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. Verse 40. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me. Verse 41, Martha, Martha, the Lord answered, you are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen. Come on, ladies. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. Wow, such short scriptures, but so much happening in this short amount of scripture. I'm so excited to diagram here this morning with you. So here we have a story of two sisters doing really great things for God. Come on, ladies. We have a story of two sisters doing really great things for God, with God. All right? There is no sin happening here. There's not one woman committing adultery and another woman at the Lord's feet. We have two women equally doing something great for Jesus. Okay? But there's a difference between what they're doing great for Jesus. This was awesome because, first of all, we are told that Martha opened up her home to the Lord. Come on, ladies, let's go this morning. Martha opened up her home to the Lord. Now, this was a big deal in this time because Jesus did not have a public arena that he preached at every Sunday morning. He didn't have Church Jesus and 5 million people gathered there on Sunday morning. No, if he wasn't by the lake, if he wasn't on a grassy knoll or on a mountaintop, he was invited into people's home for intimate fellowship, healing, and teaching. If you know the Bible and you read the New Testament, you would agree and say amen. Come on, ladies. Are we awake this morning? We got coffee back there. Go get you some if you need some. Okay, so this was a big deal. To open up your home to Jesus was a big deal. And then we have her sister, Martha's sister, in verse 39 is described as Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet listening to him. So right off from the beginning, we are told that these two women wanted intimacy with Jesus, but very different kind of intimacy. Get this. Are you ready this morning? We're going someplace. Number one, the first woman, Martha, wanted the feel of him in her house. Come on, ladies. The first lady, Martha, wanted the feel, the fruit, the benefit of who Jesus was and his appearance of being around her in her home. Come on. We're all Marthas here. We all want the benefits of who Jesus is in our home. We want his peace. We want his joy. We want to see his powerful, miracle-working power in our home. We want to hear the testimony of lives being transformed. We want to hear the parable, the teaching, the understanding, and the wisdom. We all want that stuff in our home. Martha wanted the intimacy of the feel of Jesus in her home. Mary, on the other hand, wanted the heart of him in her life. Mary, the other sister, wanted the heart of him in her life. Two different places of intimacy, ladies. Come on, I know someone here relates to this. And I ask you to stop right now and ask yourself this question. Do I want the feel of Jesus in my life only, which is, i.e., his benefits of his presence, which I just talked about? Or do I want to know the heart of who he is? Do I want his benefits and just the good that comes with having Jesus around me? Or do I want to know the heart of who he is and who he is to me? What is your heart cry? What kind of intimacy do you cry out to Jesus for? There are two different heart places here. Let's move on. Verse 40 says that we are told that Martha, who wanted the feelings of Jesus in her home, was distracted. Read verse 40 one more time. It says, but Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me. She is distracted, as the Bible tells us, by preparations. I call the preparations life's appearances. Come on, ladies. life's appearances, what everybody sees happening, what they see happening, what they see happening, preparations, life's appearances that happen around us. Now, let's not lie to ourselves. When we are operating out of a place of emotions, how I feel, rather than a core, solid foundation of intimacy with Christ, we will have the presence of God in our midst and miss intimacy because we are more distracted by appearances in our lives. Come on, ladies. You can invite Jesus into your home at any time. You can do it through worship music. You can do it by putting on godly teaching. You can even do it by inviting godly fellowship into your house. You can invite the presence of God in by helping somebody in your home, doing something great. There's a lot of ways to invite Jesus' presence into your home. But you can have this amazing stuff going on around you and have Jesus in your very midst and miss intimacy with him because you're distracted by the appearances of life. An intimacy time. If you do not stop your preparations, sit down at his feet. I don't care how much you do for Christ and all the good that you do. If you do not take time and sit down at his feet and be still and know that he is and he is alone God in your life, you will miss his desires and plans for your life. His heart for you. Come on, lady, that was tweetable.
Yeah.
I don't even have a Twitter account. If you don't stop your preparations and sit down at his feet, how will you know his heart for you? For you, not for the church, not for the ministry that you're called to, not for the family member and all this, his heart for you, because if you're not healed, how can you do healing to anybody else's life? Lord, I don't want to miss you when you're invited into my house. I don't want to miss you. It's like inviting a guest over into your home and you're so distracted on pleasing them and preparing for them that you never actually interact with them the whole time. They're sitting there so lonely and so desperate, wanting to have intimacy with you. And they could care less about your fancy dishes and the way that you decorated your house and the food that you did. All they want is time with you. They want you. That is what Jesus is in your life. He wants you. And you might be saying, man, this is all great and good and yay, amen. But how does this help me with my woman issue? Okay, well, I'm getting ready to go there. We've got to understand this place, ladies, first and foremost, before we can have any kind of healing with anybody else in our life. We've got to understand this place before we can have any kind of whole relationship healing and the process of healing in this area in our life with anything else. We've got to have this place healed first and understood. So here we are. We're getting ready to get into the classic ladies battle, the whole woman competitive thing. When I think of women, I think of entering a boxing match, and you got one woman coming in, another woman coming in, and our boxing gloves are all of our life's appearances, and we just box each other with them. Come on, ladies. You get it. Come on. It's like, boom, I got that. Well, watch this. Boom, I got that. Well, watch this. Boom, I got that. I mean, come on. When you're in a play, come on, ladies. I'm not the only one that's felt that way. I feel like most of the time we are in a boxing match with other women if we are not understanding the wholeness that Jesus brings in our life. Whew, I'm sweating. All right, we're going to Martha. Martha, verse 40. The second part of verse 40b, this is the classic woman's competitive boxing. Here we go. So Martha, the second part of verse 40, what I just read, she says, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work for myself? Tell her to help me. So I want you to understand two words that are mentioned here. I want you to just kind of highlight them in your brain, or if you actually do write in your Bible like me, you might want to underline them. One of them is left me, and the other one is work. So let's translate this a little bit into our everyday kind of issue. So, Lord, she has left me. She has left me alone. I am alone to do work what's hard all by myself. All right. This is good. Have you ever noticed that when a competitive spirit comes up between two women, it's usually because those two women are in two different places in their life? Physically, spiritually, emotionally, they're just in two different places. And that's where kind of that competitive spirit gets in. We know that when we are in the same place as another woman, we don't tend to get jealous of them. Come on, if you're experiencing a miscarriage in your life and your girlfriend over here is experiencing the miscarriage too, there's not going to be competitive with each other. There's going to be a unity because there's an understanding that you're going through the same thing. But what if you're experiencing the miscarriage and your sister friend over here is birthing out and having babies? What is going to happen here in the relationship for potential? Competitive, anger, jealousy. I'm alone. She has left me to do what's hard by myself. Come on. She has left me to do this hard thing by myself. I don't know what your cry is this morning, but you might be like, she has left me. She has the better place. She has the better life, the bigger house. She has the more money. She has not doing what I'm doing. Therefore, I feel less. I feel less because we are in two different places. Come on, ladies. I'm not here to pat you on your back and say, yay, you're doing great in your walk with the Lord. I'm here to challenge you to go deeper, to deal with these dark places in our lives so we can see blooming flowers and we can see fruit on the vine. But we got to deal with the root of these issues, right? Come on. The root is where the work needs to be taking place, because the root is where fruit can really come from in our lives. So this is where competition sets in, more or less. Jesus offers the answer to this issue in our lives. This is a heart motive issue, and freedom is found not in winning. Come on, ladies. Freedom is found not in winning, in appearances or more appearances or having this or doing that to offer, but it is more of knee time with Him. Listening to Him, discovering His heart so you can be more like Him than Sally or Mindy or Joe or Rachel or Leah or whoever it is. You can be more like Christ, and then there's no issue with this. And ladies, I'm going to just throw this in here. There will always be women that struggle with this unless they are taught differently. And there is an understanding either by the Holy Spirit or by some kind of a teaching like this. And so there will be women that you will deal with all your life that will come to you with boxing gloves. Okay? It's not like I'm teaching you how to escape these women in your life. I'm teaching you how to understand it so you can be in a place that is better, better, better. So when they come at you with their boxing gloves, you're in such a place of healing that all you do is stand up and say, I'm good. There's no fight here. God is good. Therefore, I am good. He has healed me, and I am not going to be compared to the life's appearances, but I'm going to be at His feet, seeking Him, knowing Him, delighting myself in Him, because He gives me the desires. That is where healing comes. In the meantime, in the choice of who He is in your life, listening to Him. Verse 42, listen to this. But only one thing is needed. This is Jesus replying to Martha. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. As you choose to come away from feelings of emotion and feelings of competition and develop that foundation of who God is, he says it will not be taken from you. It will not be taken from you. As you choose the better place in your life, you won't walk away feeling depleted, feeling less than, feeling competed against, just boxed up, bruised, bounced around. You will walk away with the peace because you've chosen what is better. And anytime Jesus makes a declaration of something that he says, this is a benefit from this, he says, it will not be taken away from you. I am going to pay attention. You will not let others' distractions steal what you have conquered. You will not allow other people's distraction from life's appearance steal from what you have conquered. A little bit of personal testimony. I used to go through a place where I hated women that would come up to me and start talking about all the things that they do in life. Like, i.e., like, so I just bought this and blah, 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 and we're going to do this and we're going to do this and I work out this much and we do this much wadding and blah, 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 blah. Like, you know, like just constantly just talking about themselves and all their life's appearance. And I'm like, okay. You know, it used to bother me so much. I get so annoyed. And I thought, God, why am I annoyed? Why do I feel so depleted when I would leave their presence? Why would I feel so less than? That's not of you. That is not your will. He says, you're allowing the Marthas in your life to steal the places of healing that I have restored to you through intimacy in your life. And I kept thinking, what in the world? And so there was a process of healing that God would do in my life. And the more I would get intimate with him, the less and less I would be so not annoyed and depleted, but I would actually be in a place where I felt sorry for them and began to reach out my hand spiritually and pray for restoration in their life. And then in return, I walked away feeling built up. Come on, ladies. I would walk away with bigger muscles and feeling stronger and feeling so good because God took care of it. It wasn't about what I produced. It was about what God was doing through me as I chose what is better in my life. Amen. Whenever you feel that less than competitive spirit come in to steal your peace, say to yourself right then and there, what is better in this moment? Going there or going here? And if you're in a place where you're like, I am not whole enough to not go there, then get out of there. If you're in a place where you're still weak and God is still healing and molding and you know that spirit is going to steal from you, get yourself out of there. Flee from it. Just get out of there so at least you're not being stolen from. And then when you get into that strength that God has given you, you'll be able to start ministering to women in that place and bring healing possibly in their life. Get yourself out of there. There's an amazing parable in Matthew 25 that I love, that God completely restored my life in this way of thinking through this parable. And it's Matthew 25, and it's this parable of the 10 virgins. Are we familiar with it this morning? Oh, someone liked that one. The 10 virgins. This is an amazing parable because it teaches us so much about women. And I love that. In my past history, I struggled with this place. The Bible tells us, if you want to turn there, you can. If not, then you can just listen. The Bible tells us that in this parable, there's 10 women. 10 women. They all have two things in common that the Bible tells us. A, they're all virgins. That tells me that they're all kind of in the same place in life. Okay? They're all virgins. The second one is that they all wanted something more in life than just the ordinary because they were on their way to go meet the bridegroom and they were willing to go and wait for his arrival in their life based on scripture. To me, any woman that's willing to wait for the arrival of something great want something more than what's being offered to them in the present circumstance. Come on. So this is all you ladies right here. We've got 10 virgins in here. You're all in the same place. You're all wanting something more out of life. You're all wanting to go someplace deeper in your life. But there are 5 of y'all that are wise and 5 of y'all that are foolish. I'm not saying that y'all are. I'm just giving what the scripture says. 5 are described as foolish and 5 are described as wise. What made the 5 foolish is that they didn't want to prepare for the bridegroom, i.e. get oil for process. Come on, ladies. The 5 foolish ones didn't want to prepare for the arrival of the bridegroom, which meant they didn't want to get their oil together and ready for process in their life. They just wanted to come and receive the benefits. They didn't want to get on their knees and humble themselves and let themselves be poured out and just receive from Jesus all the things that he has for them, to know their heart so he could speak to them and say, girl, you got to get some more oil because this journey might be longer than you think. You got to get some more oil. They just wanted the benefits of the presence of the bridegroom. And we could be here this morning saying, I come to Bible study. I want more in life. But are you going home? And are you getting your oil together? Come on, ladies. Are we going home? Are we getting our oil and our jars together? Are we spending time with Jesus? Are we praying and just saying, I want more of you? My flesh nature is so big and it wants to take over everything in life. But all I need is you, Jesus. That's pouring oil in jars, ladies. That's just pouring oil in jars for your life. So because of this, when the time came to meet the bridegroom, I love this, which is to step into what God has given you, that thing that you cry out for, the more in life that you come for. When it's time to step into that place, they had no root. They had no oil. So the first thing they do is try to get it from the 5 wise women. Come on, ladies. The first thing they do is go to the 5 wise women that carried their jars and said, give me what you have. And the 5 wise women said, I love this response, no, N-O, get your own, because then there will not be enough for me. Wow. There's going to be times in your life when God will give you oil and anointing for ministry. But when you know you're in that place of competitiveness and they're just trying to come in and steal what you have prepared for, you say no and get out of there so that they don't take what you have conquered and received through intimacy with Christ. Amen. And there are many times when I was in situations like that where I had to say no and walk away, just so that my oil wouldn't be siphoned from me. Ladies, I love this parable because the 5 wise women did what was better and received their inheritance, and they walked into the wedding and they sat at the dinner table and they feasted with Jesus. I'm not going to let the foolish steal my oil. Wow. Wow. Wow, Father, it will not be taken from me. Your word says it will not be taken from me as I choose what is better in my life. When I sense this competitive nature, this competitive thing that comes in between us women, Father, I will choose what is better. I will not go there. I will go here and receive the heart of Jesus for my life. I don't want to miss intimacy. I don't want to miss your presence. I want to know your heart for my life, God. I want to know direction. I want to understand more of who you are in my life. I'm tired of wanting something and never receiving it. Father, you are the answer. You are the reason for the season. I don't care how corny that is. It's truth. Please don't let me miss you when I want you in my life. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, Amen. Ladies, I challenge you to get into the small groups now. I think we're missing Paula this morning. I haven't heard from her.
She asked if I could take.
Okay, great. So Paula's group that meets back there, meet with Jenny. Jill's group, meet over there. And we're good, right? If you have never been assigned to a group, just find one and enjoy it. Ladies, don't miss next week. We're going to wrap this whole thing up. It's going to be good. Michelle's going to be awesome. God is good. And I'm so thankful for him. Blessings. You can go look. Yes. The one that says desired woman. Hold on, I got to turn this off.